Hello, everyone. Welcome to a special edition of the Rebel Room podcast. Ryan Green here with a special guest this week. We are joined by Tom Keegan, who is the sports editor of the Lawrence Journal World. Now, you may be asking why a sports editor from Lawrence, Kansas. That is because, Tom, well, you could tell him why. Your AP Top 25 poll from last week kind of tells the story.
Well, I rank Vegas number 11 because I just study the results and look at the team, and I don't care where anybody else is going to rank someone. I never let that play into it. I do it totally a blind study every week. And to me, Vegas completely deserves to be where I put them, which is at number 11. That's before they beat Arizona in OT last night.
Well, now, I guess let's start just talking about what specifically impresses you when you look at them, because I know from having worked with you in the past, you're one of those guys who doesn't believe there's such thing as a mid-major. There's good teams, and you know, there's not so good teams. What makes UNLV stand out to you?
That's right. Well, one thing is their balance and the athleticism, and when you build a team with transfers like this, sometimes, you know, the tendency is to say, well, that's never going to work. These are a bunch of malcontents. No, maybe some of these guys weren't getting the playing time right away because maybe they overshot where they thought they could play right away. And here they're, if you've got a bunch of guys who are, let's say, B players instead of maybe one A player and a bunch of C and D players, you can have a really good team. And I think that the transfers they got, people kind of tend to overlook that and forget, but to have this many in 1 year and to have them be this good, I mean, Willis and Jasper, both really good players, highly recruited players, and they're showing why this year. And then you throw in the fact that Lon Kruger is a great coach, not a good one, but a great one, who can get guys up to speed real quickly, and you've got a winning formula. I don't think they're a fluke. I think that you're going to see Vegas in the top 25 all year long.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe bet with they're just about past the meat of the non-conference schedule, and obviously playing in the Mountain West, they're in the upper echelon of that league. You know, talking about those transfers, obviously one who's not playing this year is forward Quintrell Thomas, who transferred from Kansas, who you cover. I guess give UNLV fans who haven't seen Quintrell play before a little bit of a scouting report on what you saw from him, at least the little time he got on the floor in year one.
Yeah, he didn't play a ton, but a real strong guy. He had a great body for a freshman and had played against good competition and a good energy guy. The two negatives on him would be, one, not a great shooting touch. Maybe that can improve, but I think more disturbing for an inside player. Not a real good pair of hands, and it's seldom that you see a good pair of hands develop when you start with a bad pair of hands. Sometimes you see it. And players who had athletes who had played soccer most of their lives and come to basketball, it just takes them a while to get the hands down, but that's not the case with Quintrell. And then the one most famous case of a guy who came to school with bad hands and developed good hands was Jerome Whitehead, who was the starting center for Marquette in 1977. It took me almost 2 minutes to sneak a Marquette reference in there.
I was wondering how long that would take. Of course, Tom, being a proud Marquette alum, you know, talking about Quintrell a little more, do you see this being a case as maybe a guy who, I mean, obviously he got lost in the rotation at Kansas. Do you see this being a guy who maybe going to a smaller conference like the Mountain West might find some footing because of, maybe because moving down a level in terms of league competition?
I think so, as long as he realizes, and he will, because Kruger's a good coach and Kruger will make him realize that what he is a role player. And not a star, and the key things he needs to do are defend, which I bet he does do well, and rebound, which he'll get in position because he's so strong and can jump well. He'll get in position to get a lot of rebounds, and how many of them he can hold on to becomes a key factor.
All right, well, moving on a little bit down the road, of course, UNLV plays Santa Clara this weekend on the road in the Bay Area. But we're gonna talk a little bit ahead while we have you on the phone because, of course, Lawrence, Kansas, about 70 miles down the road from Manhattan, Kansas, where not only is the UNLV coaching staff pretty much they all have deep ties there, but Kansas State, that is who UNLV will play next Saturday at the Orleans Arena in a matinee game. Let's talk K-State a little bit for the folks out here who haven't seen the Wildcats this year. Obviously, they haven't really played on TV this year. So, get us up to speed on what Frank Martin's going to be bringing out to Las Vegas.
Well, a big key player for them is Curtis Kelly, who was formerly a big-time recruit in New York City, and he's a big man. He's a wide-bodied guy who's been playing well for him, so he's improved them. And Jacob Poland, a Chicago point guard, and Denis Clemente from Puerto Rico give him a really super fast, super quick backcourt. So when those two play together, play well together on the same day, then they're really dangerous. You tend to look at when one or the other has a bad game, and then you can get them. But for example, when they beat Dayton, which was upset at, or which was ranked at the time, Pullen had 26, and Clemente had, I think it was 21. They were both hitting their threes. So real good backcourt, and Curtis Kelly makes him a lot better inside. And Wally Judge, the touted freshman, isn't there yet, and the team chemistry's not there yet. Frank Martin, the coach, hasn't been happy with him yet, but this is a very, very talented team who early in the year I had in my top 25.
Yeah, and obviously the talent's there with Pullen. You know, you saw it a couple of years ago when he was playing the role of third fiddle behind Michael Beasley and Bill Walker. Sounds like a player who's developed very nicely. You know, you talk about when he and Denis Clemente are playing on the same page. You know, I guess what's the percentage of the time that actually happens when those two are able to click on the same night? Have they been doing it more this year maybe than last?
Not necessarily. Poland has been a little more consistent this year, and Clemente hasn't been so far, but it's early. So I think with any college, when you have two guys who like to have the ball a lot, there's always going to be chemistry issues. Then both guards do like to have the ball a lot, so that's always going to be work in progress, the chemistry between them. But the good news is that the quickness and the speed they bring, man, they can hurt you at both ends because they are so quick. So, you know, Vegas is going to have to take care of the ball against them.
Very athletic team, and obviously it could wind up turning into a track meet at the Orleans. You know, give us a little insight to Frank Martin. You know, it's his third year at the program. They've had an NCAA tournament appearance. The program obviously is on much more solid ground than it was, you know, earlier in the decade. But, you know, what kind of coach is he? Is this a well-coached team, I guess, is what we should be asking.
Well, I think they play hard, but at times they don't look like they play all that smart. So I think that the jury is still out on Martin as a coach. As a recruiter, I think he's very good. He's proven that. And as a coach, I think this is a good test for him because he does have the second year of that backcourt of Clemente and Poland playing together, so there's no excuse for him not to play well together. And, you know, he's one of those very verbally abusive coaches. Which has become popular these days to refer to that. But so he, you know, really gets after his players, but they do like him, so he does pat them on the back as well. You know, it's just that you would think, though, strategically, composure-wise, if it's a close game late, you know, the advantage on the benches anyway would be with Lon Kruger. You know, very often it's the players who you know, really decide it, but late in the game, I think a coach can be a factor, and Lon Kruger is about as good as they get.
I was gonna say, you know, I guess you mentioned it's a popular style nowadays with coaches who are very in your face and very vocal. Lon Kruger is pretty much the complete opposite of Frank Martin, a guy who you know, doesn't really stand up a whole ton during the game. You know, is quiet, doesn't berate his players during games. You know, which style do you find in the long run is more effective for a college team?
Well, I think you can have a combination of them as long as you do, because self berates his players, but he also is very good at what I think Lon Kruger is very good at, and that is having enough composure to watch the game. Because some of these coaches get so wrapped up into every single possession that they're not watching the game. You know, the forest of can't see the forest through the trees, or whatever that cliche is. Both these guys, Kruger and Self, you get the idea that both of them see all 10 players on the floor at all times, and they're always looking forward. You know, that Self can look back on a game and remember every possession, it seems like. It's a remarkably organized brain in that way. But, you know, I think it's so key. Bobby Knight was very good at watching a game. And there was a combination, a guy who'd berate, but also you'd seem to sit back and study the game for a while. I don't think all berating all the time, those guys, I think the players maybe can respond to him for a couple of years, and then they kind of tune him out.
All right. Well, you mentioned if it's a close game late, you might give the advantage on the benches to Lon Kruger, for a lot of the reasons that you just talked about with his coaching style. I know it's still a week out. K-State has two very tough games beforehand. They have Washington State on Saturday, Xavier on Tuesday. Who do you like in this UNLV K-State tilt next Saturday, and why?
Well, I'm going to go with the home team here because I think they're both very talented teams. I'll go with the home team, and I really enjoyed watching the Kansas-Florida game at the Orleans there. It was a cool place for basketball, and it was one thing I'll never forget, and I won't mention the booster's name, but the day before that Florida-Kansas game, I was watching Kansas play against Ball State, and Kansas wasn't playing very well, and there's a minute left in the game, and here's a booster on his feet, absolutely berating the official, and I'm thinking, this is bizarre. What's he doing? They're up by 19 points, and this game is in hand. And then the thought hit me, oh, the spread's 21. And this guy's a heavy hitter, so it wasn't a small wager he put down at the window there.
Yeah, it was. It's not unusual to see that in the stands in Vegas, and every visiting fan. It seems like a lot of visiting fans that come into town get a little taste of that, of the heartbreak that can be sports gambling.
Yeah.
So you like Vegas next weekend? Do you look at this as a toss-up game where the home team gets the advantage because they're at home, or do you? Is this a case of the better team winning?
I think right now Vegas is playing more cohesively. So right now they're the better team. I don't know that they're any more talented than K-State, though, because I think if K-State gets it together and gets all these parts together, you could see a pretty nice March run from the Wildcats. I really believe that.
All right. Like you said, there is a good chance that both these teams will be playing in March, and there's a chance that they could cross paths once again. Well, Tom Keegan from the Lawrence Journal World, I'd like to thank you for being our guest today here on the Rebel Room. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Ryan, and good luck to the Rebels in their football search.
Yeah, well, let's get on that really quick. Mark Mangino resigned from Kansas yesterday. I'm not necessarily asking about Mangino as a candidate in Vegas, but do you see him getting another head coaching job in the college ranks anytime soon?
I don't think probably not real soon, and I don't know how strong his desire is. I can't speak for him there, but he's walking away with a lot of money. I don't know how much, but might be time to just, take a year off and just kind of take your inventory and go from there. He's very much a family guy, a very close-knit family, and I think he probably his path to big-time college football would be as a coordinator on its way to another job if he wants to do that. Who knows? Maybe he'll move back to Western PA and coach at a smaller level. Who knows what's up with Mark Mangino right now, but Kansas, I think, will try to get Harbaugh. And if they can't get Harbaugh or don't like something, they find out about Harbaugh after interviewing him. Maybe they're worried he'll go to the NFL. Maybe then Kevin Sumlin at Houston would be, an outstanding choice for him. And I think Dennis Franchione would be a good choice for Vegas.
That's the popular opinion around here, of course, a Kansas guy. And no question Kansas is going to wind up on its feet. They've got the money. They've got the facilities. So,
yep.
Tom, thank you again very much for taking the time today.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right.